Welcome to Feldman World Radio.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and happy Wednesday. It's August the 19th, 2020. We're on day 80 with Burning Down Portland, and I want to welcome you to the show. This is Brian Irving, your host here at the show, and I'll tell you, I am getting, you know, one thing is you never really get a quiet day anymore, right? Because no matter what happens, no matter what's going on, the Democrats and the mainstream media keep these rattling narratives going. They've gone on for years and years, and it just doesn't seem to stop. And, it's the same rehashed crap. That's why there seems to be no enthusiasm for Joe Biden at all. No enthusiasm. Because they're not voting for Joe Biden. Most people, it appears in this election, are voting against President Trump. There's nothing to do. There's nothing to do with any forward thinking, any plans, any ideas for the future, any way to make the world better for our children, our grandchildren, maybe our great grandchildren. There's none of that. They want to go back into the swamp. They want to fill the swamp water back up. They want to get down under the rocks and the slime, and they want to continue their corruption. The one thing that always cracks me up, all the accusations about Trump, he gives away his salary, whereas the people that all have something to say, like at this stupid convention, all these people have stuff to say. It's all negative Trump. They're the ones that came into government. They probably couldn't get a job, ran for city council, ended up in the government, and all of a sudden, 40 years later, they're multimillionaires, maybe billionaires, and they did it off our tax money. I mean, and especially the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party has so many flaws in it, so many flaws that we've talked about 1,000 times. You know, the creator of the KKK, just one. That's one. Fighting for slavery in America. That's two. There's a lot more there. But you know, August the 19th, it didn't really stand out to me. But you know, when I do the shows, I always go and I check the calendars and see what happened on that day. And there was a couple of things I just wanted to talk about really quick. On August the 19th in 1991, that was the dissolution of the Soviet Union. It was called the August Coup. It was a failed attempt made by communist leaders of the Soviet Union to take control of the country from Mikhail Gorbachev, who was Soviet president and general secretary. The coup leaders were hardline opponents of Gorbachev, but he was placed under house arrest while he was on holiday in the Ukraine. But, you know, we watched the Soviet Union break up. We know that Reagan held the line. He asked Gorbachev to take down the wall in Berlin. There was a big change then. In fact, Russia was on their heels really until Clinton got in, and Clinton and his crew, and especially Russia gained a lot of advantages on the world stage and economically under the Obama administration. That was 1991, dissolution of the Soviet Union. On the same day, August the 19th, 1991. Was the beginning of the Crown Heights riots. Crown Heights, New York, for you who don't know. And this is what I always remember Al Sharpton for. Al Sharpton came out with his anti-Semitic vitriol, very similar to what we're hearing a lot again today. A lot of the anti-Semitism today is based on the Al Sharpton standard. And, you know, he really drove this conflict. It was an issue between Orthodox Jews and the black community in that part. And the Jews were rioting and burning things. No, the, the black people started to protest and were rioting in the streets, and Al Sharpton was banging the drum and blowing the horn. And, you know, it resulted in the death of Yankel Rosenblum, an Orthodox Jewish guy, an innocent guy, was killed. Because these kind of riots, like we see now, people die. People get maimed. People get permanently hurt. People die. The Crown Heights riots, 1991, August the 19th. You know, that should be Al Sharpton's legacy forever. And then in 2003, a car bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Iraq kills the agency's top envoy, Sergio Vieira de Mello, who was a Brazilian diplomat, by the way, and 21 other employees. And on the very same day, you know, August the 19th, 2003, almost around the same time, a car bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Iraq. Oh, no, a suicide attack on a bus in Jerusalem, Israel, planned by Hamas, kills 23 Israelis, 7 of them children, in the Shmuel Hanavi bus bombing, which was absolutely disgusting. It was 2003. You know, and people always, you know, again, you know, with the new left, this new radical left, they're anti-Israel, they're pro BDS, boycott, divestiture, and sanction, which is economic anti-Semitism, which is what they're pushing. You know, you see a lot of that now. But these enemies, you know, the Mufti of Jerusalem was friends with Adolf Hitler, you know, back in the 30s. Mufti would go to Berlin and Munich. Hitler would come down and tour Jerusalem, and they'd both share ideas on how to eliminate Jews from the planet. And these people that you know, you just saw Trump with Netanyahu put together a deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. And the thank you, Mrs. Producer. The United Arab Emirates, you've seen this deal come about. And there really is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of Arabs and Arab countries that are looking for peace, that want the stability. It's not all, you know, and they've all been in support of the Palestinians for a long time. And it's brought them really nothing but pain. In fact, when Israel and the United Arab Emirates signed this deal, excuse me, the Palestinians were burning. They got a taste of what America and Israel get all day long, every day somewhere, where they're burning an American flag and an Israeli flag. They were burning United Arab Emirates flags. The Emiratis, I think, is the correct term for the group. But you know, the majority of these people, you know, the Mufti, the PLO, Hamas, I mean, they're all virulent anti-Semites. And this bus bombing is just an example of things they've done 1,000 times. I mean, it happens now. A woman, a Jewish woman, an Israeli woman is driving her children home from school, and all of a sudden appear, you know, 10 or 20 people with Molotov cocktails trying to knock them off the road. A lot of Americans that have been experiencing this Black Lives Matter blocking the highway. You know, you, when they isolate you like that and they're attacking you, you know, it's a fearsome, horrible event. But these suicide bombings have been going on forever, right? And the left and the Islamists just think, well, you know, well, the Islamists, we know what they think. They have a plan and they have an outcome. But the people that support the Islamist terror, we have them all over the place. Apparently, some of them are in the Democrat Party. You know, this is what's going to come with it. You know, we've had terror attacks around the country, a lot of them to get blown down. Isn't it cracky up when the terrorist attacks come and the police go, they don't have a motive? The guy's yelling, Allah, Allah, Akbar, death to the Jews, death to the Americans, death to the French, the Spanish, the English, you know, the Catholics, the Christians, death to somebody. Got to be killing somebody, you know, or it's not a religious service. And it just goes, you know, it just goes on and on. But that was August the 19th, 2003, sorry. Getting confused here. And I thought this was interesting. In 2005, on August the 19th in 2005, I just got the chat room going. I was having a little technical issues there with the chat room. But in 2005, and that was 15 years ago today, the first ever joint military exercise between Russia and China. And it was called the Peace Mission 2005. And I want people to keep in mind that there's a new axis in the world, you know, it's China, Russia, and Iran. And they've been working together for a long time, you know, even before this peace mission. You know, that's like they learned that kind of marketing. That's what the left does, you know. It's like, you know, you say something matters, but in the background, it's about destroying something. So Peace Mission 2005 was the first ever joint military exercise between China and Russia. The exercise started on August 19, 2005, and consisted of a combined land, sea, and air elements simulating an intervention in a state besieged by terrorists or political turmoil. It concluded on August 25, 2005. I mean, this was 2005 during the Bush years. It was done on purpose. I'm sure it was done in support of Iran in some sort of way. Now, the force practiced air and naval blockades and amphibious assault and occupying a region. And then if you remember under Obama, they actually pulled over one of our boats, pulled over, you know, like a state trooper. They pulled them over and they took the whole crew hostage. You guys remember that? But Barack and John Kerry and all the other idiots talking at the DNC for the last 2.5 days. I think Hillary was just on. I know you guys are all broken up that you missed Hillary. I mean, that, you know, here's the queen of espionage act violations, who should be, I mean, God, if nothing else, come on, Barr, just how about a grand jury? Okay, with the theory that maybe something happened with 30,000 emails and, you know, with bleach bit and smashing phones and deleting emails after they've already been requested by a judge. Let's just put it into a grand jury and let's investigate it and let's talk about it and let's look at everything, because on the surface, it looks like clear violations of her server in her house, of how she handled Benghazi. You know, they're trying to play, you know, these people, these left-wing Democrats, socialists, pro-Islamists, think they can play this game. They are so arrogant that they can do gun-running games in the Middle East. You know, it was bad enough that Holder was doing gun-running games with the drug cartels in Mexico, and you know what's going on there. You know, don't go to Maramatos, man. You'll be dead. They'll just kill you. They'll use you in some kind of a Satanist ritual down there in Mexico. But, you know, we have to be very aware and alert about China. They're not our friend. This whole idea that we can have these great relationships with Russia and China the way Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama did. You remember the reset button? Hillary Clinton with the foreign minister from Russia, and they're hitting the reset button. And then Hillary goes and sells 20% of our uranium to Russia. But Donald Trump's a problem talking to somebody on a phone, or Flynn talking to somebody on the phone. She sold uranium. She allowed Russia to expand. You know, John Kerry made us a seat, just a seat at the EU. Okay, while Putin was attacking Ukraine, they took Crimea. And don't think that Kerry and Obama and Hillary didn't know that was going to happen and didn't let it happen. You know, but we have a new axis of evil. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is just a fact. Because China is the largest, listen to this, China is the largest consumer of Russian military technology. China. Now, the exercise showcased Russian weapons. You know, the two countries are by far the most influential in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Did you know there was a Shanghai Cooperation Organization? And we're not involved. Now, both countries have stated that the exercise is not a directive of any one country, but many believe to be a show of force against the United States, particularly about Taiwan, and we're worrying about that now. Here we are 15 years later. Nothing was done by Bush. Nothing was done by Obama. And now this whole situation falls in the lap of the current president. And I got to listen and I got to read these quotes coming out of that convention, that ridiculous convention. I mean, you've got to be kidding. And this was also the day, August the 18th, in 2010, that Operation Iraqi Freedom ended. That was the last the United States brigade combat teams crossing the border to Kuwait. 2010. Who was president? Let me think for a second. Oh, yeah. He was more into bombing and drones and stuff like that. But remember when he kept drawing the red line? Obama kept drawing the red line. Well, if they do this, we're going to do something. If they do this, we're going to do... And the line kept going back, 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 back. And then they used chemical weapons on their own citizens and the Kurds in Syria. Assad did that. Assad's father was a lot worse. You people that have not been following Syrian, Syrian current events, like I have for all these years, his father, you know, was brutal. A brutal, brutal totalitarian dictator of the Ba'ath Socialist Party. He was brutal. You know, but Obama, they never stood up. They never stopped them, and they keep going. And they're going to continue to keep going because we don't have enough people fighting. You know, fighting. You know, you say something about Islamist terror, and suddenly you hate Muslims. You say something about, you know, about Islamist terror, you know, and suddenly you're some kind of a, you know, a dreg of society, a cultural heathen. Okay? But, you know, when I was a kid, 60s, it was plane hijackings. The assassination of Bobby Kennedy just happened to be a Palestinian named Sirhan Sirhan who hated Israel and hated Robert Kennedy's support for Israel. We have seen car bombings, bus bombings, plane bombings, hijackings, murders, kidnappings. They murdered the entire Israeli Olympic team in 1977. You guys remember that? Are you old enough to remember that? 77? Our oldest son wasn't born yet. Killed the entire Israeli Olympic team. And all I can remember, and it disgusted me on the Olympics forever after that, was Chris Schenkel, who was an announcer at ABC Sports, who used to carry the Olympics only, came out and said, "It's been a terrible day here at Olympic City. But tomorrow, we've got," you know, it was unbelievable. They should have stopped it. They should have stopped the Olympics, but they didn't. You know, Black September, the Palestinian terrorists, they break in, they kidnap the team, kill the whole team. You know, this is what we're dealing with. This is the background of what Israel is dealing with. This is the background of the people we're dealing with in the world. You know, it's not just the Muslim terrorists. You know, the Russians, you know, the Russians and the Chinese, you know, they're big time power. Especially the Chinese, they got manpower. They got so many people over there. You know, I remember back in the days, you guys remember Donald Rumsfeld? Back in the days, Donald Rumsfeld would talk about having a mobile force, a small, tight, mobile, reactionary force. And, you know, but, you know, people always talk about nuclear war and all that. You can depend on the next bunch of wars to be standard conventional wars. Manpower, equipment, bombings, land, you know, standard tactics. You know, everybody wants to control everything. Everybody wants America's wheat fields. So they're not going to blow the place up to smithereens. You can't use it for 50 years. No way. No way. You know, but the race hate, the violence, and these people that, you know, supported every single day, like in the Iranian Congress, in the Iranian House of their government every day, they chant death to America, death to Israel. You know, we're the big Satan, Israel's the little Satan. Almost the same thing for the Democrat Socialists. Almost the same thing for Black Lives Matter. Almost the same thing for Antifa. Isn't it funny how they're all Marxists? China, Russia. And when you look at Iran, and you look at the totalitarian governments there, you know, it all started with the Ba'ath Socialist Party, which was modeled on the Nazi model and rose up in the 40s and 50s in Iraq and Syria and Egypt and Libya. I mean, all those uniforms that Anwar Sadat wore, the Gaddafi wore, that Saddam Hussein wore, that Assad wears, that's the Ba'ath Socialist uniform. They're Marxists. They're Islamist Marxists, just like the coalition here in America right now burning down Portland. They are Marxist Islamists. So we're dealing with the same enemy all the time. The same enemy all the time. And to remember the history, you cannot forget. You know, you want to be able to forgive and forget and turn the other cheek and be the nice guy and walk away. You know, some things are unforgivable, don't you think? Like that little boy, the little five-year-old boy was shot in the face by some scumbag. These things are unforgivable in my mind. I'll never forget and I'll never forgive. You know, and the Jews have to wake up in America. The Jews in America need to wake up. You know, this is not, you know, peace and love, hippie. As a matter of fact, I just want to clarify that, too. You know, the hippie and love movement. You know, they marched on the Democrat convention. You know, the pictures of the hippies putting flowers in the gun barrels of the rifles of the National Guard. Well, that was the Democrats, the Democrats that expanded and continue, and expanded with no goal in sight, the Vietnam War, till tens of thousands of our men were dead with no strategic plan and no balls to attack because you had Russia and you had China standing in the background around Vietnam. And they both had influence. And don't think they weren't conferring on that influence. But, you know, it's been going on a long time. And that's the reason why I'm really excited about Laura Loomer's victory yesterday in Florida to represent the Republican Party against a woman named Frankel, who is one of Nancy Pelosi's best friends. She's like a guaranteed vote. Nancy calls. Frankel, you're going to vote this way tomorrow. You betcha, Nancy, I'll bring the ice cream. And that's what happens. And so Laura Loomer is going to go up against this, again, professional politician, been there decades. She's done nothing for anybody but herself and helped Nancy Pelosi. But see, the thing about Laura Loomer is she's Jewish. She's a Jewish conservative. Like I am. And even though she's 27 years old, my God, 27 years old, that makes her incredible a lot younger than me. But she remembers. And you know, it's funny, you know what they say? All these things came out. My wife noted to me today that she's been on Parler all day talking about all these hit pieces coming out on her. And I got a couple of them right here. Boston Globe. Trump praises right-wing activist Laura Loomer after a GOP win. Laura Loomer and the illusion of the useful fringe candidate. Now, that was from National Review. You know, the anti-Trumpers, the never-Trumpers at the National Review Online. You know, I used to go to that website every single day. I loved their writing and their articles. That was the end of it when they became never-Trumpers. And the Washington Post, of course, Laura Loomer's victory reveals Trump's priority, stoking, not policing his base. Policing his base. See, that's what, they just slipped right there because that's typical of a Democrat socialist. They got to police. In other words, you can't be in their group unless you walk with them in lockstep. You can't have a varying opinion about abortion. You can't have a varying opinion about education. You can't have a varying opinion about anything, about Israel, about anything. You must walk in lockstep because they are policing their base. And there's times where I wish we had policed our base. That's, you know, when you look at some of the dead wood in there. But these establishment Republican rhinos, and I'm not just talking about Romney, but these people have to go. They have to go. They don't fight. And that's what's exciting about Laura Loomer. You know, she said that all these hit pieces coming out on her, calling her crazy and a lunatic and a racist, a Muslim hater, a conspiracy theorist, even Wikipedia. You know, it's funny. I was looking at Wikipedia for Margaret Sanger, and they watered down some of it. Somebody went in, you know how you can, like, do some of your own editing? Oh, my God. Suddenly, she wasn't for abortion at all. She was against it part of her career. You know, we can't trust the media. That's why we have to do our own. But Laura Elizabeth Loomer is an American political activist, conspiracy theorist, and internet personality known for her far-right politics and commentary. Now, I just want to say, far-right, what the hell does that mean? She's not far-right. I'm far-right, too, then, right? Because we believe in the Constitution. We believe in equal justice under the law, right? You know, we believe in those founding principles. The inalienable rights from God that we have, that our God and our individualism is above government, all government. We don't bow to idols. We don't bow to dictators. And Trump's not a Nazi. He's not a dictator. Get over yourselves. If you're listening to me tonight, lefties, get over yourselves. Okay? Because Laura Loomer fights for Jews. See, and that's what puts her on that far-right thing, and calling her an anti-Muslim and all this crap. Are you kidding? After the decades and decades of terrorism, how about the hostages in Iran? How about the Achille Lauro when they threw an old man in his wheelchair overboard to kill him? Do you guys remember? Well, Laura Loomer was there to fight for Jews, and she's done it. And they always talk about, you know, when you get loomered, they call it getting loomered. But you know what she's tried to do? She's tried to ask people the questions the press won't ask. So James lying scumbag Comey is out on his book tour, selling his book, you know, of course, at the expense of Donald Trump, because what else, you know, what else do they have? Right. She's out on the book tour. And she goes to one of his book tours, and she starts yelling questions at him. She's done it to Hillary Clinton. She did it to Alyssa Milano. She's done it to dozens of people, to Rashida Tlaib. There was in Michigan, there was a Muslim get-together, a meeting, a presentation about, you know, Islam in America and all this stuff, and it said it was open to the public. Well, it wasn't unless you were Jewish. And she and another Jewish woman, they tried to get in. Now, Laura Loomer has guts. Laura Loomer has balls. She's an American patriot and a Jew. And now she's the 2020 Republican nominee to represent the 21st Congressional District in the U.S. House of Representatives. Do we need her? Do we need her to be able to fight the squad girls? Laura Loomer is only 27 years old. But, you know, Twitter treated her unfairly. Facebook treated her unfairly. She's been totally smeared. But she's simply someone that stands up for the Constitution, stands up for her Judaism, stands up for that equality and that justice and the safety in the freaking world. You know, she's not like a BLM member. You know, a crazy trained Marxist. Or an Antifa warrior bringing bricks and cement in a milkshake jar and blinding laser lights to attack the police department? Those guys are okay, yes. Well, they're anti-fascist. Well, no, they're not, because Antifa was founded to fight against Hitler. But see, the catch is this. They want communist totalitarianism, not national socialist totalitarianism. That's the only difference. You know, they got you see the pictures. You see, you know, when they're out marching Antifa, they've got the hickle and slammer, the hammer and sickle insignia of communism. Well, how about this one? This is great. You know, Heavy. I used to like Heavy. So Heavy does this page, heavy.com. Says Laura Loomer wins Florida GOP primary, 5 fast facts you need to know. And this is how it starts. It goes far right, anti-Muslim commentator and activist Laura Loomer won the Republican nomination in Florida's 21st District. Loomer has been banned from virtually all social media platforms as well as PayPal and Uber due to her history of incendiary and anti-Muslim statements, and last year had her credentials pulled from the Conservative Political Action Committee, which is probably controlled by people like Mitt Romney. But anyway, still, President Donald Trump congratulated her, like that's a sin, because here's somebody that can fight. So it says, Loomer has spread conspiracy theories about mass shootings and calls herself a proud Islamophobe who never wants another Muslim entering this country ever. And want to know why? You know, of course, that's an extreme way of putting it. Okay? But, you know, the terror can only last for so long. The government's supposed to stand up for terror. Terror is not supposed to exist. Where you have equal justice, where you have a civil society, these things can't exist. See, here's what can exist. You can believe in any religion. You can believe in any philosophy you want. You can be a racist. You could be a hater. You could hate Jews. And you have the right in America to have your opinion. You have the right to be wrong in America. But what you don't have is you don't have the right to act on it. Now, there are people out here that are killing people today. Have all their excuses. And they're killing people today. But people have opinions that they're not acting on. That's America. She's not a race hater. She's fighting back against the influx of Islamists that hate America. Like Ilhan Omar. Like Rashida Tlaib. They want Jews. They want Americans on our knees. They want us on our knees. Are you going to go there? And I don't mean on your knees just during the national anthem. I'm talking about on your knees. Laura Loomer was raised Jewish in Arizona, attended college in Massachusetts, leaving prematurely because she told Forward magazine she felt targeted for being too conservative. Now, over the years, she has worked at James O'Keefe's controversial activist organization, Project Veritas, and conspiracy theorist and commentator Jack Prosobiec. Yeah, he's a conspiracy theorist. See, that's what they say about us conservatives. No matter what level of conservative we are, no matter what election year it happens to be, suddenly we become racist, we hate Muslims, we hate Latinos, we don't want immigration, we want dirty air, we want dirty water. It's just ridiculous, man. We're all in the Nazis, or as Obama said, right? We have racism in our DNA, right, folks? But it's just ridiculous. Number two, Heavy says, Loomer has been banned from Twitter, Facebook, and PayPal and Uber for hate speech and handcuffed herself to the Twitter headquarters to ban her protest. Now, I thought that was kind of crazy, but it was some interesting theater. Because this is about Jew hatred. Okay? Because that's what this is about. The rise in anti-Semitism these last 10 years has been stark. It stands out to me. I remember how bad things were in certain places in the 60s and 70s. I remember in college, I put an Israeli flag sticker on the bumper of my car. And this other Jewish kid that was going to New York Institute of Technology came over to me and goes, man, you got guts. And I go, what are you talking about? Because this hate's been around, and it's around, and it's still around. And she's fighting it. You know, then they say number three, Loomer won the primary with 45% of the Republican vote and will face incumbent Rep. Lois Frankel in November, a staunchly blue district, but not anymore. Not anymore. Now, they say 45% here. I heard it was more than that when they got the voting there. Four, controversial figures like Roger Stone, Jacob Wall, and Gavin McGinnis attended her victory party. But of course, these are people, we're about free thought. We're about the Constitution. We're about the right to speak, the right to think. And number five, it says President Trump congratulated Loomer on her win and said she has a great chance in November. Loomer said Democrats don't know what's coming their way. And they don't. I don't think they realize the black community, the Jewish community, the Latino community. A lot of the recent foreigners that have come here from Africa. Talk to some people from Nigeria. Talk to some people from Haiti. see how they feel about the Clintons. They don't have the Clintons up on any pedestal, I can tell you that. There's genocide going on right now in Nigeria. No one talks about that. Obama was funding governments in Africa, in Somalia, in Kenya, in Mali, in Chad, in Nigeria, that were pro-Muslim. And what did he bring to Africa by doing that? More Boko Haram, more Al-Shabaab, more terrorism and hate against Christians all across the African continent. We already know what's going on in Libya and, you know, up in the north there along the Mediterranean. But now it's everywhere. Even Sudan was disgusted with the EU thing. So Laura Loomer, I'm telling you, she's fighting for Jews. She's fighting for the rights of people, American people, not illegal immigrants. Because, see, I'm going to say something, okay? People that come here illegally defraud the American taxpayer because we're the ones that are giving these government people like Nancy Pelosi and some of the rhinos all this money to spend. They take it from us. You know, they're just taking it from us. You know, we should really be challenging the tax code. We should really be fighting as a unified America from all sides, Democrats, Republicans, rich, poor, everybody. Because this money is just flowing in. We don't know where it's going. But we pay all this money to these people. And we get nothing. Obama gave the black community nothing. Donald Trump did more for the African-American community in terms of jobs, in terms of sending financing, where they're going to restore parts of cities, putting money into the black colleges. He did more than probably the previous five or six presidents. Because LBJ was a segregationist. He signed the Voting Rights Act and the Great Society, whatever the hell they call that stupid thing. The War on Poverty, what a joke. The same people that are in poverty in 1965 are still there. The same people that have lousy schools, have to worry about violence and being shot every day, are the same people that were there in 1965. So since 1965, with all these programs, with tens of billions, of hundreds of billions, of tons of money being spent, and a lot of vitriol and a lot of conversation, nothing got done. Trump's getting stuff done. Somebody else won an election a couple weeks ago, a week or so ago, Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's an up-and-coming star in the GOP in Georgia. But what do they say about her? They call her a QAnon conspiracy theorist. They call her anti-Semitic. They call her racist. They call her just like they do with everyone else. But I got pictures of her and Laura Loomer together. I guess she doesn't hate all Jews. Maybe she just hates those stupid socialist, pro-Islamist, pro-BLM Jews. Because those Jews are starting to get on my last nerve as well. But she had a big primary win. And of course, Trump thanks her. Of course, you know, that's what they're saying. You know, Trump, the xenophobic, racist, hater, and even though his grandchildren and his daughter are Jewish, he's anti-Semitic. Every time he quotes one of these, they try to create a straw dog or they try to mischaracterize these people so they can continue with this stupid lying narrative of theirs, which never seems to go away. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene tweeted, "The GOP establishment, the media, and the radical left spent months and millions of dollars attacking me. Tonight, the people of Georgia stood up and said that we will not be intimidated or believe those lies. I am excited to be the next congresswoman of Georgia, District 14. God bless America." So it sounds like somebody else, right, is for the Constitution, for equal justice under the law, for freedom of speech, freedom of thought, First Amendment, Second Amendment, Third, Fourth, Fifth, all the amendments. It's amazing. Ilhan Omar got, you know, to leave these people. One thing I have to say, Green called progressive billionaire activist George Soros a Nazi, even though he's Jewish. But he's a self-hating Jew. He turned in his entire community to the Nazis as a trade-off to not hurt his family. You know, and some people say, well, I've heard that was debunked. Oh, well. Don't believe it. Okay? Believe the media. Believe the liars. Believe them. But anyway, Laura Loomer's fighting for Jews and the Constitution. Okay? Marjorie Taylor Greene is fighting for the Constitution and America. Not open borders. Not illegal aliens getting free college, free health care, SNAP. No, that's not right. But there was a couple other elections that went really well. Air Force veteran Anna Paulina Luna. She won the Florida Republican primary race as well. Now, she's an Air Force veteran. She overwhelmingly won the Republican primary race in Florida's 13th congressional district. Okay, on Tuesday night in her bid to unseat incumbent Charlie Crist. You remember Crist? He got elected as a Republican, and they changed parties midway through because he, you know, as a protest against the evil George Bush. You know, George Bush, they got him on a pedestal now. You remember how they treated Bush? He'd go around the world. People would be throwing shoes at him. He'd be doing press conferences. Well, Luna won 36% of the vote, defeating four other Republican candidates. And don't forget, there's too many people in these primaries. Now, she tweeted after her win, I just won my election for Florida 13 by a wide margin. They said I didn't have a chance because I lacked experience. But the people were with me and with me all the way. This November, I will defeat Charlie Crist, and God, I hope she does. Then I'll help Donald Trump help drain the swamp. Now, her victory is also a win for the Trump base. Donald Trump Jr., who did not officially endorse any candidate in the race, tweeted Friday that he heard great things about her, and that she was a conservative pro-Trump Air Force veteran. Okay? She joined the Air Force at 19, earned her undergraduate degree in biology from the University of West Florida. She served as director of Hispanic Engagement for Turning Points USA. She's a conservative nonprofit aimed at educating and training young conservatives. There's a lot of youth coming with us now. There's a lot of youth. And then I think we all saw this video the other day. I want to bring her up also. Kimberly Kalcik, K-A-L-C-I-K. Well, she's a Republican candidate from the 2020 election for Maryland District Number 4, and she's black. She's a wife, she's a mother, a nonprofit founder, and currently elected to the Baltimore County Republican Central Committee. She grew up in Acoquic, Maryland, once known as the home of the Beretta Gun Company. Go Beretta! In 2010, she moved to Baltimore, once becoming engaged to her husband. Now, in 2013, she founded the Potential Me to assist underserved women with workforce development. Assisting close to 200 women became gainfully employed. 30% went on to obtain financial independence. As the nonprofit grew, she employed women reentering society and found what it took to manage payroll and helping families thrive with opportunities that she created. Well, she did a video of her walking through Baltimore. You know, and it's basically Black Lives Don't Matter to Democrats. And I must say, you know, and she, one of her slogans here is move forward, not backward. And we have to move forward. And when you look at that DNC convention, that's all they want to do. They want to go back to the deep swamp. But Kimberly Kalcik, so there's a lot of youth coming in. You know, we should be feeling good. And on the other side of the coin, okay, and this is what I'm talking about when I talk about Laura Loomer fighting for Jews, fighting for Americans, fighting for the Constitution, and these other women that are going to be coming into the Congress. We've got to vote them in. We've got to vote the progressives out. Well, the right-wing Tribune put together an article about Ilhan Omar and her history of supporting terrorism. She voted against stripping life insurance payouts from terrorists. Right? Now, in 2007, while serving in the Minnesota House, Ilhan Omar voted to allow families of terrorists to financially benefit if they are killed while carrying out a terrorist attack. The bill, sponsored by Representative Joe Hope, or Hopi, H-O-P-P-E, was proposed in response to the San Bernardino terror attack that resulted in the shooting deaths of 14 people and the injury of 22. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, there was a shoot. Oh, wait, there was one in Florida, one in Texas. Well, this was in San Bernardino, folks. This is the terrorism I'm talking about. I know I know Barney. I almost said Barney Frank. Oh my God, Gerald Nadler. I'm having some Bidenisms right at the moment. Jerry Nadler said it was a myth. So this is another example of the myth. 14 people dead, 22 hurt. Now at the time, Rep. Hopi said terrorists, quote, should not benefit, unquote, from taking out a life insurance policy. You should not be able to provide for your heirs or whoever you want by increasing your life insurance policy. Now, Rep. Lori Halverson, a member of Omar's DFL party, said, if people are using nefarious purposes to take out life insurance policies and unjustly enrich their beneficiaries, that's going to have a very big impact on ratepayers. Makes sense. Not just Omar, who was only one of two votes against placing the restriction on the enrichment of terrorists. The bill passed the Minnesota House 127-2. Now, there's no way, you know, we have to be able to fight this. Laura Loomer could be an absolute great person to do just that. So a lot of things to look forward to. It's hard in the midst of COVID, in the middle of this, of the unending lies from the Democrats, from the mainstream media. It just doesn't stop. But like I said last week, nobody circles the wagons around a lie like these Democrat socialists. And ever since Obama, you know, you can go back to 2015 when five police officers were killed in Dallas. In fact, you know, Kaylee, I bring it up all the time. Kaylee McNerney was talking about it today. That's terrorism, folks, shooting cops. What's going on right now is there's terrorism. There is Marxist, Islamist terrorism going on in our streets. Portland has not stopped burning for 80 days. 80 days. Not only that, you know, hey, listen, we flattened the curve. We shouldn't be closed out and locked down anymore. But, you know, the DNC convention, you know, I can barely watch it. I hardly watched it at all. I watch clips. I watch things the day after. I try not to watch too much stuff with editorials so I can just listen, but we watched them not present their plans for America. They didn't present one forward-looking, one positive idea, one thing to bring the country together. All they did, what did they do? They attacked Trump, one after the other, the same stupid vitriol, the same vitriol. You know, did any of them talk about the ongoing riots, the destruction of Minneapolis, of New York City, of Seattle, of Portland, of other places? Have they talked about, in St. Louis, have they talked about any of that? The Black Lives Matter, the Antifa, CARE, and the Muslim Brotherhood, all involved together on these riots with plans, man, plans. They want BDS. They want Israel destroyed. They want the Constitution trampled on. They want to have a one-party system, like any good Marxist socialist would. I mean, Hitler got elected in 1932. One of the first things he did was he made all the other political parties illegal. What's to stop the Democrats from doing the same thing? They were already building the foundation of that, censoring us off social media, censoring us in the media. I mean, even Trump, the President of the United States, is being censored. This is a crime against the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen. We do not have to take it, and we have to stand up and verbally fight it. You know, like I said, you can have your opinions in this country, but you're not supposed to act on your opinions. But we have to be vigilant because they're coming to hurt people. And they're hurting people all over the country. Did they speak to that? You know, and the media isn't trying, you know, to talk about it. And one of the biggest jokes I heard of the whole time, Joe Biden saying he's fighting for the soul of America. Did you see those Joe Biden commercials? You've got to be kidding me. Which soul is he talking about? I mean, after 8 years of Obama, who trashed our foreign policy, he trashed our economy, he trashed our society, okay? He brought back some of the worst. There have always been pockets of race hate, okay? There's pockets of people that are white supremacist, racist, Nazis. They hate Jews. They hate blacks. They love America, but they hate Jews and they hate blacks and they're Nazis and they're scumbags. And they're historically, they're all Democrats. Okay? And then there's pockets of people, black people, that think all white people should die. And you know, so there's these pockets of extremists. But one of these groups is being supported by the DNC convention by not talking about what's going on. They have no plan for the future. They have no vision for the future. They only attack Trump, Trump, Trump. They're only looking for power and how to win. And they get all these creeps to come out and talk. I mean, even some turncoat, you know, they're not even Republicans. Who cares? Do you think losing John Kasich? I mean, John Kasich's been kicked out of the Republican Party in all of our minds since he became a never-Trumper. Since he tried to hurt Trump during the end of the primary when it was him, Cruz, and Trump. You know? But seeing Bill Clinton talk yesterday was really nauseating, especially after, you know, the Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein pictures come out. And actually, you know, I don't know where all these other things come from, but I collect pictures off the internet, JPEGs and GIFs and whatever I can steal. And I've got pictures. I had the picture of the painting that was found at Epstein's home of Bill Clinton in a dress, smoking a cigarette, sitting on a chair. Then there's all these photographs. I have photographs that I stole off the internet years ago that show Clinton getting back massages and all the rest of this stuff. Now, here he is. He's been accused of rape. We all know what he did to Monica Lewinsky. You can say what you want about her. She was young, younger than Laura Loomer is right now. And he abused her. She had problems. She was having an affair with a college professor, an older college professor. So she had, whatever you want to call it, she had issues. And he took advantage of it. And then he lied to a federal prosecutor. He shouldn't have been allowed to keep his pension. The Clinton should have left the White House in shame because he lied to a federal judge. Martha Stewart did jail. Leona Helmsley did jail. Thousands of people have done jail for the same crime. But not Bill. But Bill's out there. You know what he says? This is what his claim was at the convention. He goes, our unemployment rate is more than twice as high as South Korea's, 2.5 times the United Kingdom, more than 3 times of Japan's. Donald Trump says we're leading the world. Well, we are the only major industrial economy to have its unemployed rate tripled, former President Bill Clinton said. Yeah, but wasn't that at the advice of the scientists at the time? Fauci and Birx shut down the economy? Think of the businesses that have been destroyed. Why is Nancy Pelosi hiding and not getting this done for the American people? She wants money for her failed cities? So she wants to bail out. First of all, she wants to bail out her nephew, Gavin Newsom. Yeah, Pelosi and Newsom are relatives. Okay, she wants to bail him out. She wants to bail out Cuomo. She wants to bail out Walsh up there in Minnesota. Look at Minneapolis. That guy Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, he should have resigned and left already. Oh, did you hear that? The police chief of Seattle, she finally resigned. I felt bad for her. They weren't letting her protect the people. She quit. But that Seattle mayor should have resigned also. So Bill says all this crap, right? And John Carney at Breitbart does a little fact check. And he basically wrote that this whole verdict here was misleading. The U.S. unemployment rate did jump higher than that of the European and Asian allies, but it was because the U.S. had favored a more flexible and generally more effective economic policy response than Europe. South Korea has had an export-focused economy, and Japan's shrinking population and societal conventions all but prohibit layoffs. Now, it is highly misleading to claim that the U.S. unemployment rate is a reflection of an alleged failure by the Trump administration policies, or to imply that it is evidence that the United States economy is weaker than the UK's, Japan's, or South Korea's. The UK, like many other European nations, has relied on job protection scheme that has kept workers formally attached to their jobs, even though many are not actually working or businesses cannot afford to keep them on. The U.S., for its part, engaged in a massive fiscal expansion that has swiftly ended the economic contraction caused by the coronavirus. That included allowing workers to be laid off, but paying most of those workers more in unemployment benefits than earned on the job. That has limited the damage to the U.S. economy, kept householder consumer spending afloat, and allowed many Americans who lost their jobs to keep paying their bills. I mean, it was one lie after the next. John Kasich, you know, here's a guy that he's all for boys in the girls' room. In an interview with the Columbus Dispatch, the former Ohio presented himself as a moral hero for backing former vice president. Leadership means you can walk a lonely road, he told the paper. Listen, nobody's road is lonelier than Donald Trump right now. Nobody. He doesn't even get the constant verbal support of his own party. And here's a party that they tried to put their bills through, okay? They probably every single one of them would get passed. You know, but this whole thing about Kasich, oh, led him to Biden. He loves Biden. Maybe he was also pushing Joe Biden's leg hair down in the pool and letting it come back up again. And of course, Governor Whitmer, one of the most excited Nazis in America today, she likes her role as a totalitarian governor, you know. But they caught her on hot mic using profanity. She goes, it's not just Shark Week, it's Shark Week MFers, she said in front of the camera. But, you know, others in the room were laughing, which is odd given that she's in a room packed with people making jokes while she has implemented a slew of lockdown orders in a state that have greatly harmed businesses and citizens. You know, Whitmer's got to go, Michigan. You can't make that mistake twice. And COVID just keeps rolling on. You know, COVID-19 just keeps rolling on. Now, listen, yes, it is a real virus. I'm not sitting here saying it doesn't exist. A lot of people have died from it. But, either China released it by accident or on purpose. They sent a lot of infected people through all our ports, airports, shipping ports, and they brought it in, and it's had a devastating effect. And I think our response to it, I mean, it's hard not to be worried about getting it. But at the point where we are right now, it's kind of time to loosen this up, you know, the whole mask debate and everything else notwithstanding. But it turns out that a poll done by reported by Newsweek, the College Reaction Axios survey, 1 in 5 college students will not be returning to school in the fall. You think that's going to hurt their education, their future? And Jason Devaney said that more than 1 in 5 students said in a new poll that they're not enrolling in classes in the fall. 21% said they are not taking classes for the fall, with most of that group saying they are working instead. Of the students who are taking classes, 83% said they will follow their college's protocols related to COVID-19 pandemic, which involves social distancing and wearing masks. 77% that their school should not participate in fall sports this year, including football, which makes me cry. They took everything away from us. You know, they took away baseball, they took away football, basketball, hockey, took away live music. I mean, maybe it was for the better. They only asked for 2 weeks in the beginning to flatten the curve, right? And then 58% of the students who live on their college campuses said they wouldn't tell officials if someone disobeys COVID-19 protocol. Well, they shouldn't be ratting on each other. That's kind of nasty. Yes. Now, colleges and universities nationwide are opening in varying formats. At least one school, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, planned to hold in-person classes but was forced to switch because they had an outbreak. But it's testing, you know, just because, I just want to say it again. Just because you test positive doesn't mean you're on your way to the hospital with symptoms. Just because you test positive for the COVID doesn't mean that you can give it to anyone else. What it does mean is your plasma can be used to help people that really get the disease. But have you noticed one thing? Time's running out here, so I'm just going to wrap up real quick here. But, you know, Black Lives Matter is now calling looting reparations. In other words, the organizers are saying that they're basically saying that widespread looting in the city, ongoing civil unrest accompanied by a crime wave, Black Lives Matter leader Ariel Atkins openly defended looting as reparation. After 100 looters were arrested and 13 police officers injured by mobs in the protest, they said that there was a preoccupation with looting that it's reparations and these companies have insurance anyway. Boy, is that arrogant. Hey, you've been listening to Thelman World Review. This is Brian Irving thanking you for tuning in. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for tuning in to the August 19th, 2020 podcast of Feldman World Review. This is Brian Irving, your host here at Feldman World Review, thanking you for tuning in. And please, bring friends, bring family, bring everybody you can. I need a lot of hits for these next couple of months, so try to bring people. I hope you guys are enjoying the show. You could always go into the chat room, and I can talk to you through. You could make comments in the chat room. You could always call in. That's what I'd really like to see, is a bunch of call-ins, see how you guys are thinking. So just keep following Feldman World Review. Appreciate the support. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.